This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
At-Tawwab, the initiator and acceptor of repentance. At-Tawwab is a fa'al form which indicates the perpetual initiation of repentance and the acceptance of repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the story of Adam in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And so Adam was inspired or taught words by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so Allah accepted his repentance. Allah is the constant acceptor of repentance, the merciful. Anas ibn Malik in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes the happiness of Allah when one of us repents, and he says, لَاللَّهُ أَفْرَحُ بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happy with the tawbah of one of his servants than a person who had been traveling in the desert and then loses his camel and then finds it unexpectedly. In another version, a longer version in Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happy with the repentance of his servant than a person who has his camel in a waterless desert and it's carrying his provision, his food, his drink, and then the camel gets lost. And this man loses all hope of being able to find the camel back. And so he lies down and he is despaired about his camel. When all of a sudden, he finds that camel standing in front of him. He takes hold of the reins of the camel, and then he says, out of his incredible happiness, he says, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. He says, oh Allah, you are my slave, and I am your Lord. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, akhta'a min jiddati al-farah. He said, he made it all mistaken. He got the sentence all messed up because of how happy he was. Now that image of a person who's snatching life from the jaws of death, he was gonna die, and all of a sudden he sees his camel in front of him. That happiness that's being described is the happiness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is describing to describe the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when one of us simply repents. Question for you, wouldn't you like to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy? Then what do you have to do? You simply have to repent. Now tawbah, repentance, has pillars that the scholars have mentioned. Number one, the first is that a person commits to never doing the sin again. And the word azm, commitment, is different than fantasy. It's different from wishful thinking. It's different from just simply intention. We know what commitment looks like in our day-to-day life. If a person says, for example, that they're committed to losing weight, they're committed to a healthy lifestyle, and they want to change their life around with diet and exercise. And then after you hear that passionate speech, you then say to them, let's go for lunch. Like, cool. And then you go to a diner, and the first thing that they order is burgers, large fries, and a large soda. You wouldn't consider them to be committed. Commitment requires not just desire, but a change in behavior. So when it comes to commitment with regards to repentance, it requires commitment. And that requires a change in behavior. What caused that person to fall into that sin in the first place? What was the environment that they're in? What are the pathways that normally send them down that darkened path? And what do they need to do to change it? So that's number one. Number two, that they don't relapse. Number three is that they regret the sin. And then number four is that if the sin has to do with the rights of somebody else, that they return those rights. The first three are between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the sin's between them and Allah. But the fourth, if it has to do with the rights of someone, that they return that right. So if a person stole money from someone, they can't simply say, I repent to you, O Allah, from stealing $10,000 from so-and-so. No, I have to return that money to that person. So the fourth pillar of repentance is that if it has to do with the rights of somebody else, those rights have to be resolved. Now, if a person truly commits to these four pillars, then even if they fall again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. They shouldn't let the lack of success demotivate them. Instead, they should simply dust themselves off and get back up and try again. And if they were to do that 100 times, sincerely committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive them 101 times. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, and let them be patient regarding what is presented to them of obstacles and distractions, for it may not be long that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists them with a spirit from Him and decrees faith in their heart. Meaning that if you're trying to get over a sin, you have to be patient, you have to endure. Don't let the obstacles stop you from journeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You all know that story. Probably the most famous relapse story in hadith is the man who killed 99 souls. And this man had wanted to repent. And he goes to a great worshiper in the masjid and he says, I've killed 99 people. Is there repentance for me? And the guy says, no. You killed 99 people? There's no way that you can repent. So he kills him too. That's how easy Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَتَمَّ بِهِ الْمِئَةِ. So he made him 100. He made it 100 souls. That's how easy killing had become for this person. That if somebody gives him an answer that he doesn't like, he just simply kills him. Now, that's as good a reason as any for someone to say, you know what, this repentance thing it's not working out for me. You know, this is obviously who I am. Or maybe he'd say to himself, like, this is proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did accept my repentance. I'm destined for the hellfire. Look, I'm even trying to repent. I show up to the masjid and I kill somebody in the masjid. Like, there's no good in me, right? But that man didn't let that obstacle stop him from his journey of what he wanted to do. And so he continues until he finds somebody else. And this time he finds a scholar. And he says, I've killed 100 souls. Is there repentance for me? And the scholar says to him, and who can be between you and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But then he tells him, you have to go to another place though. You have to go to another city because your people here are an evil people. You're in a very bad environment. You got to leave. You can't be around the same people, the same friends, the same situation and expect change behavior. You have to put yourself in a better position. You have to commit and you have to change your behavior. And so he did. And while he was on his journey, as he covered half the distance, he would pass away. And there was a dispute between the angels of mercy and the angels of torment. And the angels of mercy, they came and he said, you know, he belongs to us. He was journeying to his Lord. He was journeying in repentance. And the angels of punishment said, this person never did a virtuous deed in his life. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that another angel was sent. And this one judged between them. And he said, measure the distance between the two lands. If he's closer to his origin, then the angels of the punishment will take him. And if he's closer to his destination, the journey that he was taking, then the angels of mercy will take him. And so the angels of mercy collected his soul. And so this man who was journeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after killing 100 souls was forgiven and his repentance was accepted. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, hadith in the Tirmidhi, he says, I heard this not once or twice or even 7 times from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I heard him saying even more than that. I heard him saying, there was a man called Al-Kifl among the children of Israel. And he didn't stay back, he didn't restrain from committing sins. He committed every sin. And a woman came to him once, and he gave her 60 dinars so that he could sleep with her. And when he was in position that a man was from a woman, she began to tremble and cry. And so he said to her, like, you know, did I do something to harm you? And she said, no, but I'm only doing this out of need. The only reason I'm here with you right now is because of my need. In that moment, when she says that, he says to her, take the money and leave. He was so moved by that moment, he said, by Allah, I will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that. He repented in that moment, but he would also die that night. And the next day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that written upon his door, it was written, قَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِلْكِفْلِ. Allah has forgiven al-kifl. I'm aware that I just told you two stories of Tawbah, and both of them ended with the person dying. And I remember reading the book by Ibn Qidama called Qisas al-Ta'ibin, the story of those who repented. And it was definitely a motif, one after another, not all of them, but enough times where I noticed the person who was repenting in the story ended up dying shortly after. And I remember thinking to myself, like, so what, does Tawbah cause people to die? Like, is that something that that's going to excite me to make Tawbah if I'm going to die after it? But I realized that I was looking at it actually the wrong way. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires good for someone, Asalahu, he sweetens him. And the Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, how does Allah sweeten a person? He says, Dallahu ala amal, he guides him to some goodness, and then he causes him to die in that moment. So these people were destined to die, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired them to tawbah at the end of their days to sweeten them, that their life end with one of the greatest deeds that they can do. And one of the greatest things that we can do is assist each other with regards to tawbah. I want to end this with guidance from Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Surah Ghafir saying, غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. He's the forgiver of sin, the acceptor of repentance, the severe in punishment, the owner of abundance. There's no deity except Him. To Him is the destination. Now Ibn Kathir mentions that there was a man from Ash-Sham who used to come and visit Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and Umar on one occasion missed him. Where is he? Where's he been? And so when he asked what happened to so-and-so, the people said, he's been drinking. And so Umar then summoned his scribe and he wrote from Umar ibn Khattab to so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. I praise Allah to you who's the forgiver of sins and the acceptor of repentance, the severe in his punishment, the owner of abundance. There's nothing worthy of worship except for him, and to him is the destination. He quoted to him verbatim the beginning of Surah Ghafir. And then Umar told the people around him, he said, make dua for your brother that he approaches it with his heart and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire him to repentance. So when the letter reached the man from Umar, he would read it again and again and again. And he would read, غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة the forgiver of sins and the acceptor of repentance. He's warned me of his punishment, and he has promised me that he would forgive me. And then he would continue to repeat it again and cry, and then he desisted from drinking wine. When the news of that reached Umar ibn Khattab, he says, this is what you should do if you see your brother slip, that you correct them and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, that he inspires their repentance, and don't be shaitan's helpers against them. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our repentance, to make us of those who constantly repent to him, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us a vehicle of repentance for our brothers and sisters, that we assist them, we uplift them, and that we be sources of goodness for them. Allahumma ameen.